After that song, we can say amen. Great day to be in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles today, would you turn to the Great Commission passage, which is Matthew chapter 28. We're actually going to begin in verse 18 of that chapter. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. And when you found your place there, whether it be on your Bible or on your iPad or your Samsung device or your iPhone or whatever device you have, whatever your copy of the Bible looks like, once you've found your place, would you stand in honor of God's Word? And we're going to read beginning in that verse 18 of chapter 28 of the book of Matthew. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me." What amount of authority?
All.
So who's the head of the church? Christ. Because it says here, all authority. Not some, a bit, all of it. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, here's the command, here's the challenge. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Lord, this brings excitement to us, but it also brings a heavy challenge. And I pray that today that those who follow you, those who are disciples of Christ, those who love you and love your appearing and love your word, Lord, that we will not take this in a lackluster way. We will not look at this as an easy thing for us to do, but Lord, with your strength and with your spirit, help us to accomplish the Great Commission. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is going to be, appear to be a very weird message today. And I know I said that last week, but this is going to be even weirder because today I'm going to talk about in the worship service, I'm going to talk about small groups. I'm going to talk about Sunday school classes. I'm going to talk about your connection groups. And I saw that smile back there from your Sunday school director. This is an exciting day, isn't it? This is a wonderful day. And the reason I'm doing that is because I believe that we have one of the greatest tools in our Southern Baptist churches. We have one of the greatest tools to do the Great Commission. It's called Sunday school. And if today you're a member of this church and you have not found, or if you're an attender of this church, maybe you haven't joined yet, but that maybe that day is coming. If you have not yet found a small group, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you as a follower of Jesus Christ that the responsibility is not just to attend church and to show up at services, but the challenge here is to be a disciple who makes disciples. I want to go back to the text this morning, and I want you to see the challenge that's before us. Look again in verse 19. He says there, "Go, therefore, and make disciples." And so the command is not just going, and it's not just baptizing, but it's being a disciple. Are y'all watching? Being a disciple who makes disciples, who makes disciples, who makes disciples. That's what the Great Commission is. And the challenge for every church, not just this church, but the challenge for every church is not having a Sunday morning service, having a Sunday night service, having Wednesday night programming, having Sunday school, having programs in place for every age group and every person within the community. The Great Commission is not having programs and having scheduled times where we meet. The Great Commission says our challenge is to be disciples who make disciples who make disciples. So anything that Jasper First Baptist Church does that is not helping us to push along to being disciples who make disciples who make disciples needs to come into question. Anything that you're doing that is not helping you to be a disciple who makes disciples, who makes disciples. One of the most challenging things in my 34 years of ministry, I was at Bandyland, the last church that I served. I had been there for probably about a year or so, and we were changing some things up. We were changing some things up musically. It was going to be a little bit of a challenge for our folks, for a good many of our folks. But I met with our senior adults, and I presented them this idea. Can I get a couple that's in their 30s? Can I get a couple that's in their 30s to come and join me right now? Would you do that? Anybody? What, you don't want to admit that you're in your 30s? Listen, I would kill to be in my 30s again. All right, we got it? All right, come on. Give them a hand. Aren't they a cute couple? All right. You stand here next to your husband, all right? All right, now I need a teenager. I need a teenager, somebody that's 16, 17 years of age. Come on, stand right here. All right? Give him a hand, too. Here's what I said. He's a big guy. Do you play sports?
Basketball and football.
Do you? I can tell. You scare me. I'm going to go over here. Here's what I said to my senior adults at Bountyland. And you can call them. You can call them and ask them if I said this. This is what I literally said. We are changing some things up. But the reason we're doing that is not to make you mad. We're not doing those things to make you mad or to upset you or to frustrate you. We're going after, are you listening? We're going after your kids and we're going after your grandkids. So if you see some things changing around here, if you see some things happening around here, and maybe they make you a little bit more uncomfortable, you're not used to it, we want you to know this is the reason why we're doing it, because we're going after your kids, and we're going after your grandkids. We had a practice at Bountyland that anytime somebody was baptized, the family members would stand in honor of that moment. And here's what I said to my senior adults. I want you to be here, and I want you to stand when we baptize your children, and when we baptize your grandchildren, and for some of you, when we baptize your great-grandchildren. You guys can go be seated. That's why I said a moment ago, here's what I said. The Great Commission is here. Christ came to bring comfort to those who are afflicted. But the Great Commission is also here. Are y'all listening? Say we're listening. The Great Commission is here for us as believers, as those who are followers of Jesus Christ. It is also there to make us uncomfortable and to afflict us if we're too comfortable. Because there's nothing in the Word of God. We say we believe the Word of God until it hits me. We say that we're Bible-believing Christians until it affects me. Folks, I'm telling you, this Great Commission, this challenge affects all of us. It affects all of us. And so today I want to talk about small groups. I'm going to talk about the leaders of those groups. I'm going to talk about the class members of those groups. And I'm going to talk about those who are yet to be a part of our groups. I want to make a statement. Next slide. I want to make a statement that says this. How can a church ministry grow if the Sunday school or the connect groups or whatever you call them, a small group ministry is not growing? I believe in Sunday school. I believe in growing a church through the Sunday school organization. That's where you have relationships. I don't know if you know this or not, but very seldom do I let you ask a question. Have you noticed that? Yeah, Brother Steve, you're just talking. You never let us get a word in edgewise. That's because I'm preaching and you're not, okay? But here's the beautiful thing. In your Sunday school class, in your small group time, you can ask your teacher the questions. You can have a dialogue about it. That's what's so beautiful about a Sunday school class is that you have a people that are surrounding you that are studying God's Word together. They love the Lord Jesus Christ and they love you. It's like a family. That's a beautiful picture of what a Sunday school class can be. And so I hope today I've already convinced you, if you're not a part of a small group, if you're not a part of a Sunday school class, I hope already that I've convinced you to be a part of a small group. Let me say this, and I've already said it in other words, but let me say this. I don't believe you can do something of value and stay in your comfort zone. That's why I started this message off by talking about the Great Commission, bringing affliction to those who are comfortable. We cannot do anything of great value if it allows us to remain in our comfort zone. We've got to get out of that shell. We've got to get out of that. Let me talk to the leaders. And I know that growth is difficult. In fact, I have a statement here that I want to share with you. Growth, I believe, is life's greatest surrender. Now, just think about that for a second. If you're going to grow, if you're going to grow in your work relationship, in your family relationship, in your church relationship, in your relationship with Christ, if you're going to grow, here's what that means. That means you take hands off. And you surrender yourself in whatever dynamic that is, in whatever picture that is, you surrender so that you can grow. But folks, listen, if we stop growing, what happens? In life, physically, if you stop growing or if you stop getting older, what happens? You die. It's the same thing in church life. It's the same thing in our spiritual life. So growth is absolutely important. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a deacon, if you're a pastor, if you're a leader, a church leader today, I want to make a statement for you. The most important question for you as a spiritual leader is not, what am I doing? Because that promotes activity. Listen, it's not about you doing more things. It's about you being who God has created you to be. That's what being a disciple is. It's not about adding things to your calendar and being and doing all these things. It's about becoming the disciple of Jesus Christ. I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to Baptists. And for Baptists, and I am one. All right, I was Baptist born and Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I've said that several times, so you should have that memorized by now. But for Baptists, I know us, we gravitate to the easy. I know us. We gravitate to the easy. But in this particular point, we don't have the luxury of gravitating to the easy. So I want to be what Christ wants me to be. And so let's get a picture of what Christ wants us to do as a church. Let's get a picture of where Christ wants us to be. And so to do that, I want us to go to Scripture. So turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. If we're going to understand what it means to be a disciple who makes disciples and to be a church that is filled with disciple makers who are becoming disciples and who are making disciples, if we're going to do that, that means we got to have the right priority. And whose priority do we need to take as our own? We need to take the Lord's priority as our own priority. And Luke chapter 19 and other verses give us that priority. Look what it says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Let me go back to verse 9. And Jesus said to them, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham." Verse 10. "For the Son of Man has come to make me comfortable." Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, has come so that I will have things my way. The Son of Man came so that I would be the star, the one who everybody looks to. What does the Bible say? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So if you'd like to know where Jesus is this morning, he's with the lost. He's hurting for them. He's out for them. Now, if you would turn to John chapter 10, again, another verse that I think that presents this same thought. We see what the adversary is doing in this passage, but we also see what Jesus is doing in verse 10 of chapter 10 of the Gospel of John. He says there in verse 10, he says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, to destroy." That's talking about Satan and all of his dominion. But he says, Christ says, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." I love this phrase, "that they may have it to the full." I love being full. Y'all know that. So he says there, I have come that you may have life and that you might have it to the full, more abundantly. But another passage that I think absolutely screams to us what we're to be about is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. So if you would, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And again, we're speaking about the priority of where Christ would have us to be. And I'm thinking from the standpoint of whether I'm a church member or I'm a church leader or I'm a pastor, whatever, my responsibility and my call cannot go against the priority that we find in Jesus Christ. And so 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises," amen, "as some has counted the slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So what is Christ's priority? His priority is that everybody that can possibly hear the gospel, everybody that can possibly be in touch with someone who knows the gospel, that none of those people should lack hearing the gospel and being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what I'm simply saying today is I believe that we have one of the greatest tools in the church life to help us accomplish the Great Commission. It's called Sunday school. I've said this for years, and even before I was on the state convention staff, I've said this as a pastor, that the greatest evangelism tool that we have in our Baptist churches is the Sunday school, if it's done right. The problem is that in so many of our groups and in so many of our Sunday school classes, and unfortunately with so many of our teachers, the priority is not his priority. The truth is, in most Connect groups and most Sunday school classes, outreach is the last thing that we focus on. But for Jesus, it was the first thing, and it is the first thing. And so what does evangelism have to be? It has to be, first of all, it has to be intentional. It's not going to just happen by us just coming together. Folks, listen. If you have a small group, if you have a Sunday school class, and no lost people are coming to your small group, no lost people are coming, lost and unchurched folks, the survey said up there from the video that there were only 3.3% of the folks in Boston who would define themselves as an evangelical or they're a part of an evangelical ministry. But even in Marion County, on an average Sunday, 80% of your neighbors are in nobody's church on an average Sunday morning, which tells me that the field is white unto harvest. The problem is that we have the wrong priority because our priorities are not lining up with his priorities. I want to give the challenge to each of the Sunday school classes. And I want to talk about some practical things. So turn with me, if you would, back to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 21. As you think about small groups, as you think about leaders, as you think about those who are leading in those groups, just as Christ was intentional, we also have to be intentional in the way that we do that as well. Christ is calling his followers. He's calling disciples. He's calling those to follow after him. And in verse 20 of chapter 8, Jesus said unto them, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And then another of his disciples. Now these are not Pharisees. These are not, quote, religious leaders. These are followers of Jesus Christ. Listen to what they say. "Then another of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead.'" That seems harsh, but if you understand history, he was not speaking about the immediacy. He wasn't saying, "Hey, listen, my father just died a day ago, and I need to go bury him." Now, what he was saying was, my father is of an age where he's getting up in years, and in a couple of 3 years, he may die. And so I need to be there to take care of him and take care of the burial and take care of all those arrangements if it happens within 2 or 3 years. Christ is simply saying, follow me, follow after me. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 60. Christ, in so many of his words, Christ, in so many of his teaching, he said some things that were uncomfortable. He said some things that were hard sayings. In fact, we hear time and time again his own disciples, we see it here, his own disciples say, what you're teaching us, what you're saying to us seems to be impossible. Are you really telling us to leave our comfort zone, to leave our comfortable place and go do this thing? And Christ never backed down. Praise God. He never backed down from the truth of the gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 60 says this, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Oh, they understood it. That wasn't really the question. The question was not, we cannot understand this. The question is, what you're asking us to do is going to make us feel uncomfortable. I go back to the statement that Dr. Fish made. The gospel, Christ came to bring comfort to the afflicted. But the gospel is also there to bring affliction to those of us who are comfortable. He says that in verse 61. Look what he says there. When Jesus knew in himself, Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? He knew the answer. Folks, listen. I would be offended, knowing the gospel, I would be offended if my church, my church leaders, my pastors were more concerned about me than the lost. I would be offended if my church was worried about me as a follower of Jesus Christ, someone who is a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. I would be more upset if they were concerned about me more than they were concerned about those who are outside the walls of our church. Christ came to seek and to save those that are lost. That's what we should be about. One final place, Luke chapter 14, if you would turn there. Luke chapter 14. You say, Brother Steve, this is making me feel uncomfortable. Well, good, you're getting it. You're listening. Verse 25. Verse 25 of chapter 14 of the book of Luke. Now great multitudes went with him, and they turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, yes, even his own life also, cannot be my disciples. Let me ask you a question. Is Christ asking for a commitment? Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, folks, I said it last week, and I'll say it again in case you were not listening. Christ did not come to take a seat in your life. He came to take the throne of your life. He didn't come to take a part in your life. Listen, are you listening? He came to take over. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a Christ follower. That's what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Let me take just a moment to talk to the teachers. I know we have several Sunday school teachers in here, and And I love the fact that you've made the commitment to use the giftedness that God has given to you. But I want to give you two or three things that I think will help all of us and all of our Sunday school classes. And then I'm going to move to the class members. So class members, do not camp out. I'm just going to spend just a short moment with the teachers. There's two or three things that I want to share with them. Number one, I want every teacher to know that you are better equipped if you're being trained and equipped to do the responsibility of teaching the Word of God. That is too awesome of a responsibility, it's too important of a responsibility for you not to be equipped. I've been in ministry 34 years, but I'm telling you, I have not learned everything that I need to learn about fully teaching in a powerful way to teach the Word of God. There's so much here. If you're a teacher, and I should get an amen from the Sunday school director, from Pastor John, and from several church leaders. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you don't have an assistant teacher, shame on you. Because it's not just your responsibility to teach your class. Your responsibility is to be a disciple. Let's go back to this. To be a disciple who makes disciples who makes disciples. It's not just your responsibility as a teacher to teach the Word of God, but you need to be teaching someone else who can take your place when you're absent, when you're gone. But even more importantly, when that class gets to the point where we can't fit any more chairs in here, listen, we're not going to find you another room. What we're going to do is we're going to challenge you to develop another leader, another teacher, and they're going to take a portion of your class and they're going to go down and start another class. That's how growth happens. That's how you make room for more and more people. Set high expectations upon yourself and on your class. Class members, honor your teachers. Expect from them, but honor your teachers. Because the Bible says that those who teach the Word of God are worth that double honor. Because if they're teaching heresy, if they're learning or if they're teaching heresy to themselves, it's only one person that's upset and dealt with. But if they're teaching heresy, if they're not teaching the whole counsel of God's Word, then they're messing a group of people up. That's why it's on the pastors. Pastor John, Pastor Greg, that's why it's on you. If there's anybody in this church that's teaching heresy, God's not going to point his finger at them. He's going to point his finger at the pastors. They will be held eternally responsible if anybody is teaching heresy and not teaching the Word of God. That's why there has to be doctrinal integrity. I wish, my 34 years of ministry, I hoped with everything in me that I was responsible to mankind. I would much rather be held accountable to flesh and bones. I'm not held accountable to flesh and bones. I'm held accountable to a much higher calling, and that is God himself saying, you led those people wrong when you pastored them. That's a huge weight. Huge, huge weight. Now let me talk to the class. Do your class members know what's expected of them? And here's what I would simply say. I've heard this for years. We inspect what we expect. And if our classes are doing what we're challenged to do through the Great Commission, then we're going to pursue those who are lost. We're going to begin to look at those who are not here. Listen, if your class has, let's say, 8 chairs, all right? You have 8 chairs in your class, and you have 8 people attending. They've attended for the last 15 years. All 8 people are there every Sunday, and you have no more than 8 people. You have 8 chairs. What are you saying to the rest of your church, and what are you saying to this lost community? If you have 8 people coming every single week and you have 8 chairs, what are you saying? We're full. It's almost like you're saying it's us 4 and no more. We don't want no more. We don't want to change the score. You're saying to the world out there, we don't want you. So classes, make sure that there's room for guests. Make sure there's room for those who are not a part of the church. And then the second thing is, invite them. Every single class should expect that there would be unchurched, lost people in their Sunday school class every single week. Because, folks, we are selfish if we're hanging on to this. When I was a plain old member of a church years ago, one of the greatest benefits that I had was I had a man who taught me the Word of God, and he studied the Word of God. And so I was being discipled by my Sunday school teacher. Not only was I being discipled by my Sunday school teacher, but if I wound up in the hospital or somebody in my family wound up in the hospital, my Sunday school teacher or my Sunday school class was there to minister to me. I had a family, but I also had a family within the church. And it's selfish for me to hang on to that and not want anybody else to experience that. We have one of the greatest tools for evangelism in our churches, and then we don't do it. Seek those who are lost. So three questions I'm asking of each of us. How important is my Connect group? How important is my Sunday school class? According to the Great Commission, it's one of the most important things that Jasper First Baptist Church does. In fact, the last church that I pastored, when we had somebody join, I would look at them and I would ask this question. Would you like to be a part of the best thing that we have going here at Bountyland? And of course, they would say yes. I think they thought I was going to buy them a meal or something, or we're going to invite them to a potluck. I would enroll them in a Sunday school class, one that was their age group, one that would contact them and encourage them to be a part of their small group. How important is my teacher? Well, if God's gifted your teacher and God has expected your teacher to teach faithfully the Word of God, how important is your teacher? Your teacher is critically important to accomplishing the Great Commission in this place and in this church. What is my role in the group? What is my role? Well, your role is to be there, to look out in your community, and to discover those around you that are not experiencing what you're experiencing. You say, well, I'm a part of a senior ladies class. I guarantee you, ma'am, I guarantee you that there are lost, unchurched ladies, maybe even widows in this community that do not have a church home. They don't have a class that loves them. They don't have a group of people that will minister to them when they're sick and hurting. They do not have a group of people that will be there for them and for their family. They do not have what you have, and they need that if we're going to accomplish the Great Commission. I make this statement, and then I'm done. To all of us, God has pitched you the keys to this car called Sunday School, called Connect Groups. Will you take your class where God wants you to go? Will you take your class where God wants you to go? Would you pray with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me ask you today, if you're a part of a Sunday school class, I'm going to talk to the teachers first. If you're a teacher, if you're a Sunday school teacher, or if you're an assistant teacher, thank the Lord for you. Praise God for you because you have been gifted to teach God's Word. But there's an expectation with that. God expects us to teach with integrity the whole counsel of God's Word. And the responsibility for making sure that we all teach the Word of God falls upon the pastors. They are the ones who are going to be held eternally responsible for heresy if it's taught in a church. So teachers, do not be offended if your pastors ask you, what are you teaching? In fact, celebrate that because that means that your pastors care about the doctrinal integrity. They care whether or not the gospel is being taught and preached in your congregation. Amen. If you're a class member, get some more chairs. Invite unchurched, lost friends. And I'm talking to teenagers as well. Invite lost, unchurched friends and family members to join you in your small group because they need what you're getting every week. And then pray for your Sunday school leadership. Start with your pastors. Pray for your Sunday school director. Pray for your Sunday school leadership. Pray for your teachers, your assistant teachers. Pray for those who are teaching in the preschool. They're teaching our precious, precious babies about Jesus. Father God, I ask that you would move upon us today. Lord, I pray if there's one here today that does not know you, that today would be the day that they would come to know you as Savior and Lord. I know the message was not really geared towards evangelism, but Lord, we're going to get there as we have classes and as we have teachers and classes that are interested in seeking and saving those that are lost. Father, I pray that if there's one here today that they already have a relationship with Christ, they've already been baptized, they're already a member of this congregation, but they've never been able to connect with a small group. I pray that today will be the commitment. Today will be the day that they find the opportunity to connect with that Sunday school class, with that group of people that love the Word of God and they love each other. I pray that they will find that place to serve and that place to connect. We'll give you all the praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand together and sing our hymn of invitation. I'll be standing here at the front to receive you. As we stand together and as we sing, you come. You come.